The title of the message is We Need to Know Something. So you can go to Hosea. It's after the big prophets. If you're reading out of a Kenneth Copeland Bible, all you have to do is go to page 1076. There you go, Deb. Just helped you. Thank you, Jesus. Hosea. But actually, we're going to go to 4:6. So you have to go over a few pages. Amen. 4:6. It's quiet in here without D's group, isn't it? Y'all are quiet. Where are the noisemakers? Y'all are going to have to help me today. Thank you, Jesus. Are you there? Praise the Lord. It says, this is King James right here. I'm reading just A, part A, because this is the point I want to get across to you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, here's another version. It says, my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge of me. People lack knowledge of God. A lot of people know a lot of things about God, church. Mm-hmm. At least they think they do. Many people have been taught a lot of religious ideas that they think is about God. But it's just a lot of religious ideas. They think that's knowing God. And, we need to know Him, and we need to know about Him. And we don't need to know a bunch of religious things. We need to know what the Word really means, what the Word really says. And the only way you're going to know what the Word really says is you're going to have to study it, and you're going to have to study something besides King James. You're going to have to study into the Greek and Hebrew to find out what words really meant, or you could just believe something totally strange. Amen. The Word of God is anointed. The Word of God will help you, but you'll have to dig down into it. So, you know, I think we're all about doing the will of God. I don't think you'd be here, particularly in this kind of church, if you didn't want to do the will of God. We found out that the will of God looks nothing like religion. It just doesn't look like religion at all. It's about a relationship with God, and it's about the knowledge that we know. It's about His very nature that makes things work for us, isn't it? Understanding His nature. It came up in Jessie's ministry this morning. She talked about, I could sense her going back to the fact that love is the core of God. And that's what we're talking about in these days. We're talking about Hesed. We're talking about this obligatory love. And so, relationship with God, having the knowledge. And then from there, when you know some things about God and you know some things about how to work with God and work with heaven, then life becomes easier for you to do His will. And one of the things we understand is that God will become your treasure instead of your slave boss, as religion thinks. He's a father, not a punisher. Amen. So we need to know some things. And one of the things we all know around here is that the just shall live by faith. The Word says that the just shall live by faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We understand that. The anointing is on the Word. The anointing is on the Word preached. And the Word will straighten out our thinking. Will it? When you finally boil it down and get in there, it'll straighten out your thinking. And then we also know that we act on the Word that we've heard. So if you're going to operate in faith, you're going to know something. You're going to know the Word. You're going to be able to confess that Word. You're going to be able to believe that Word, and things will begin to come to pass for you. It's pretty simple if people can do it. So we act on the Word that we've heard. So then the manifestation of the substance that is hoped for will happen. It'll be manifested. As I said to you on Wednesday night, if I order a pizza and they give me a receipt and a number 17, when number 17 comes out, that pizza's mine. Number 17, here I am. That's mine. My number 17 is the substance of the pizza hoped for. I have it. Okay? I have it. That's what faith is. Faith is that number 17. If I order something with my faith, then faith is the number 17. So so to speak. You get what I'm saying. So the harvest or the manifestation just has to find number 17. How does the manifestation of something nowhere to land? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, show himself strong, right? And so something's coming from the other realm that needs to manifest in the earth. Your healing, favor, peace, joy, whatever it may be, a thing maybe, anything from houses to clothes to whatever that you put your faith on. Yeah, whatever it is. It's going to manifest to the one who's holding up number 17 or to the substance. I already have that substance. There's joy in here, so joy knows where to come. There's house in here, so house knows where to come. There's finances in here, so finances know where to come. You're just holding up. It's mine. Just thought we'd have a refresher course, just a little bit there. Now, what happens, what we see here, now if the question comes up, well, is that really yours? Then you have the receipt as well. Yes, 17's mine. Here's my receipt. Well, here's your receipt. This is your receipt. Well, you can't have that healing. It passed away. No. It said right here that by his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. Right? So you have a receipt. Now, on top of that, or below that, we'll just say, there are foundational things of faith that make it all work. And it makes it a lot easier on you when you just don't know. If you just know the formula, it's a little harder on you, church. That's why I'm calling this, you need to know something. Because we could say, this is how faith works. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, you want something. Can I use your phone? He's got his Bible open, but I won't mess it up. So, let's say that he wanted this phone for his birthday or his life or whatever. So Gabe is believing for a phone. And it's out here in the realm. Yeah. No. It's out here in the realm. Now, he's going to hear some good preaching that lets him know that it's okay for him to have a phone. Because God wants him blessed. Is that right? So when he gets the revelation that God wants him to have a phone, he can absolutely say, I believe, I receive. He speaks to the mountain to come to him or whatever speaks to it. I believe I received that phone. I believe I received that healing. I believe I received that forgiveness. I believe I received Jesus. I believe I receive whatever it is, whatever, spiritual, social, emotional, whatever it is. So he says, I believe I receive it. And then he begins from there to thank God for it. And every day it's moving toward him as long as the substance is there. And the substance would be right there on the inside. I'm putting it on his heart. And this would find its way to him. Now, that's the formula. But what we're looking for is something that will make that formula, so to speak, because it's relationship more than it is formula. We just use that to help you in knowing how to do things. And it's great. But there are foundational things that will actually help you get further along. One of them being covenant. Covenant is the thing. It's easier to believe for what you want and have your faith working if you understand covenant. Because you know God will not break what he said in his word. He will not break it. The word tells us he will not go against his word. So you have to just find it in the word. Also, a big help is understanding hesed. The reason why we're calling it hesed is because there's no English word that will help you totally understand it in one word. It's God's tender, loving, mercy, kindness. No. I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute. But it's so much. But we need to understand hesed, which is totally a part of covenant. Hesed is the loyalty part of love and the loyalty part of covenant. Okay? So it's obligatory love. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He promised he would do it. So if covenant is not working for you, it's not on his side. If faith is not working for you, it's not on his side. You've got to build a capacity or work on faith working for you. Amen. I'll say it like that. So he promised, as we understand covenant, covenant is about two lives coming together. You can use marriage as an example. You could use tribes over in the old days in the eastern part of the world. Tribes would come together and they'd get together and they would trade names. They would trade weapons. They would trade coats. They would trade, they would eat a meal together and they would actually cut. They'd cut themselves. Because they were blood covenants. And so if there was a big chief helping a smaller chief, when that little chief had his spear, had the big chief's spear, and he's walking through the jungle, the other tribes are going to leave little chief alone because there's somebody bigger. Can I tell you that the devil is looking at the big spear you're carrying? Okay, so just a short reminder of that. You got to understand covenant. Well, this hesed is a part of that. And so, you know, there we talked about the cutting. And when time progressed, they would take gunpowder and rub it in the cutting to make sure that that scar did not go away to prove that you were in covenant. Nowadays, married people wear a ring on their left hand, their left finger, that's a sign that they're staying in covenant. Is that right? Yes. Amen. Glory to God for that. And so Abraham was circumcised in a private place, right? And so you have been circumcised in your heart. When you were born again, the blood, different blood, began to flow for you. Amen. And what we understand here is your scar is loyalty as well. Amen. So there's this basic knowledge that's going to help us use our faith easier. We're in this relationship with a Father who will not fail us. And our representative is Jesus, and he cannot fail. And we have agreed to get into that with him. Amen. So, faith is not just a formula now. It's a relationship. You see that now? It's not just that formula. It's now a relationship. Okay. So, God made his ways known to Israel, but he did what? He made his acts known to Moses. So, this is what he wants to do with you. He wants you to know how he acts. He wants you to know he made his acts known to Israel, his ways known. I said it backwards there. His ways known to Moses. He wants you to know his ways. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. What a good song that was. But he wants you to know his ways. Not just everything he did, but he wants you to know what he's doing and why he does it the way he does it. And when you begin to know why God does what he does, the way he does it, then you begin to have confidence in what he does, which ends up helping your faith on another level. Now, here are some stair-step truths for you. There's going to be three of them. Number one, God is able. The Apostle Paul prayed this over us. This is Ephesians 1:18, and you know it well. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, and set him, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Okay. What I want you to see here is God, the Apostle Paul is praying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened to power. God is able. God is all powerful and God is able. And we see that all through the scriptures. That's not new to us. Resurrection power is available. There's something else we need to see here. Matthew 8:2 says this, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Number two, God is willing. Jesus said, I will. So God is able and God is willing. This is what you need to get your spirit so you can have life-changing power. God is able and God is willing. And we see just how willing Jesus is because he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So faith in God's power is good, but it really isn't a sufficient basis for faith. You know, he's powerful. He's good. We know it changes things. But I want you to listen to Psalm 145. It says, the Lord is gracious. This is Psalm 145:8. You can look it up in a little bit. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works. Number three, the Lord is gracious. Number one, the Lord is able. Number two, the Lord is willing. God is willing. And number three, God is gracious. God is gracious. Can you see where we're going? He's gracious. He's full of compassion. If someone's full, there's no room for anything else. He's full of compassion. No room for any harshness. He's just full of compassion. He's slow to anger and of great mercy. In the Hebrew, the word compassion is the same in the Greek. They're two, of course, two different words when you say them. But they both mean this. To be full of eager yearning. God is full of eager yearning. Amen? The word gracious means disposed to show favor. So disposed means to give tendency to. His tendency is to show favor. You know people who their tendency is to show favor more than others. Some people just get in your business to try to help you. Right? They're like, oh, well, what do you need? What do you want? No. Let me see if I can help you with that. Do you want me to help you figure that out? Do you want to? They're showing favor. Amen. It's favor. Now, so he applies himself to the care of showing favor. God applies himself. He's prone to show favor. He tests positive for showing favor. Okay? And these sentiments are expressed all throughout the scripture. Over and over again, you see God being good. Jesus revealed the Father with a compassionate heart by healing all. The scripture said that he would go out and he would heal them all. It may take all day, but he'd lay hands on people or speak or do whatever he did. And he would heal all the people because of the compassionate heart of God Almighty. You know, Satan's in the business of hiding these truths. He's used religion to broadcast the illogical, unscriptural, worn-out statement that the ages of miracles has passed away. Okay. Well, you know, if modern theology magnifies the power, power is great. But Satan doesn't care about that. Go ahead, power, no big deal. No big deal. They can talk about power if they want to. It doesn't bother me any. But he doesn't want a complete focus on the rest. Power is not sufficient basis for faith. Because you could say, God is powerful. And he did that for Karina. But I don't really know if he'd do it for me. Because she may be special. She may have great faith. Or she may do this. Or maybe it's because she's so beautiful. I'm sure God loves, you know, whatever you can think of about Karina, which are many great things. She's a leader. She's this. She's that. She's got Bobby. That may be the reason. Hey, she's got Bobby. That's it. You can think of a lot of things. So it's not sufficient for the basis of your faith. That's not going to necessarily get you there. So Satan doesn't care about that. There can be power. You can sing, there's power, power. You know that old song they used to sing all the time? Amen. So the Bible magnifies willingness. Magnifies willingness. Jesus said he had to make the leper understand, I will do this. But church, even when we advance from saying he's able into he's willing, it's still not enough. The word willing is just too tame to fully express God's merciful attitude toward us. And that's why we need this phrase, gracious. 2 Chronicles 16:9, I quoted this just a minute ago to you. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those that are mature, are perfect toward him. He's eager. He wants to do it. That, by the way, that word eager, that word perfect doesn't mean that you do everything right. It means you're hungry and you're reaching out toward him. So he's hunting. God is literally hunting for opportunity to gratify his benevolent heart. He delights in mercy, church. He just delights in mercy. Well, we know that faith pleases God according to Hebrews, do we? Amen. Hebrews 11:6. Amen. So if you want to please him, here's another step. Remove all obstacles out of the way of the exercise of his benevolence. Remove them. Get them all out of the way so he can give it to you. Clean out those filters. Move the obstacles. Get rid of the parasite drag that's holding you back from receiving what God has for you. Because he's infinitely good and he exists forever in an entire consecration to pour out blessings on his creatures. Whenever they make it possible. That's the key. Surely goodness and mercy are following you. Stop and let them catch up with you. Turn around and grab them. Turn around and get some. They're chasing after you. They're coming after you. His love is coming after you. He's running after you. Turn around and let him catch you. He's eager, church. He's not a respecter of persons. Whatever he'll give Karina, he'll give you. Whatever he'll give Brother Copeland, he'll give you. Whatever he gave Brother Roberts, he'll give you. The line's not too long and you're not at the back of it. The window's not going to close before you get to the front. You're not going to lose your number 17. What a strange doctrine that the sick are not to look for as much mercy as the people in the Old Testament did. What a strange doctrine that people would come up with. Well, you can't be healed anymore. That's all passed away. That's a strange doctrine when God was even healing in the Old Testament. You know, Jesus had so much compassion on people that so many people knew what he would do that the harvest was too big for the reaper. Finally, he had to do something, and I just submit to you that the fact that Jesus withdrew himself to heaven to become the high priest over us, the high priest over our confession, over our prayers, is the proof of his great compassion. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to send the Holy Spirit because people need me everywhere. Yeah. His compassion is on a much bigger scale. He ever liveth to make intercession for us now. That's exactly what he's doing. God is able, God is willing, and God is gracious. Listen, church. Faith will rise mountain high, when the truth of God's present love and compassion begin to dawn on our minds and in the hearts of people. We just need to become occupied with the truth rather than feelings and symptoms and situations. Let's be occupied with the truth. Get these truths in your heart, church. Get these truths in your heart. I want to give you a challenge. I want to read you what I wrote down here. After being properly enlightened, place yourself where God's mercy can reach you without Him having to violate the glorious principles of His moral government. Then wait and see if you don't experience the most overwhelming demonstration of His love and mercy, and the blessing will flow until you have reached the limit of your expectation. See that? What does that look like? Am I saying, well, you know, if we're going to remove obstacles so that He won't have to violate the principles of His moral government, what does that look like? What's that? Am I saying I need to be perfect? I need to make sure everything gets sin out of my life and be totally perfect before He can move. I am not saying that. I'm saying this is about hunger. Yeah, things will fall away from you. Habits that you didn't like, things that you don't want, they will fall away from you as the Word progresses on the inside of you. But this is about relationship. When you get to know someone, you know what they'll do. Is that right? You're going to know what they'll do. And you're going to know what they can do. Amen? God will not act outside of faith. Well, you mean we have to have faith and well, only if you're going to live for God and get what you want, you know, so that you can advance the kingdom. The Bible says four times, Old Testament and New, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Yeah, Lord, thank you. God will not interfere with what He already gave over to you. Like the authority of the believer. He's not going to override that. He's not going to override your will. He gave you a will on purpose. God will never answer begging and crying. He can't hear it. He hears faith. God will not break covenant. And God will not stop loving. God will not work with strife. If there's strife, the devil is present. God will not interfere with your trying to get something done. If you decide you're going to do it, He'll stand back. If you commit it to Him, He'll take over. It's up to you. You're going to try to figure it out. You're going to try to work it out. You're going to lay awake at night and try to see if you can do it. You've chosen the harder way because God won't do anything, but you might as well go to sleep. He's the one that'll stay awake, and He's the one that already has been to your future. He already sees the answer. He's already got you riding high above the situation. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Commit it to Him. 1 Peter 5, place yourself under God's resourceful strength. Cast your care over on Him. And He'll begin to exalt you over the situation in the same season that you cast your care. Do, that word do season is not in there. It's in the same season. In the same season, He'll start help. Right then, when you move out of the way, He'll start taking over. He works when you rely on Him. Well, I just think that you know, me and God are partners and that He needs me and I need to do stuff. You're exactly right. There is a partnership. But you have to do your part, not His. Your part is getting the promise. Go get number 17. Put it in your heart. Speak it out your mouth. Thank God for it. understand that He is for you, as it was sung this morning. He's for you. He's not against you. Keep that going over and over in your spirit and get out of the way and get into the flow. Then He uses your mouth. He uses your hands. He uses your feet. He uses your brilliance. He'll use whatever, your talents, whatever. He just doesn't need your worry. He just doesn't need your confusion. He doesn't need your analyzing. He doesn't need your conspiracy theory. He doesn't need any of that. He just needs your cooperation.
Amen. Yeah, that's good.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He works in His perimeters of love, joy, and unity. Yes. Love, joy, and unity. God is gracious, church. He wants you to take advantage of that. He is able. We've seen it over and over. If you even just believe the Bible, you see that He is able. Extraordinary things happen. When's the last time you saw the Red Sea part? When's the last time you saw dry bones rise up? When's the last time you saw, well, Elijah did 8 miracles. Elisha did 16. He had a double portion of His spirit. When's the last time you saw miracles like they did? When's the last time you saw the dead raise? Some of us have. Yeah. People instantly healed. Well, it's going to be more and more frequent as you begin to understand that God is gracious, that He has an eager yearning to reach out to people and heal them. This is the best witness on the earth. I know people are like, well, you know, I just want to get people saved. That is what we all want to do. The best way for you to get people saved is to be a witness of how good God is. And then they'll say, what is it about you? Why do you whistle all the time? I see you in the store and you're whistling. If you want to find Deb in the store, just listen for a whistle. She whistles in the store. Da 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 da. You know. But why is your life this good? How come even when troubles come, you overcome? Because you know God. You know that He's gracious. You know He is willing, but you know that He's able. Think of all the miracles. The Jordan dried up a couple of times. Peter walked on the water. He's just one of us. Yes, but He's special because He's the apostle. There are apostles sitting in this room. Apostle means sent one. You could be an apostle to HEB today to go get a loaf of bread. The sent one. That's what the word means. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It is what the word means. Sent one. Of course, we know the office of the apostle. Plants, churches, fathers, blah, 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 all those things. Not trying to take away from that. I'm just trying to make a point to you that God is gracious. He loves you. He loves all of you, and you are anointed on a level that the world is not familiar with, all to the glory of God.